Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
You know, Exploring Missions is so excited about having the programs that we're able to share with you. And Nathan and I get to hear the results many times. And the last few weeks, we've heard from several people about what God is doing using Exploring Missions and helping others, equipping others. And that's what this program is about. It's helping AFR carry out its mission statement of aiding the church in carrying out the Great Commission here in America, but also around the world. So that's what we try to do. And we also try to teach. That's the other element. Nathan has taught missions, and he does that even now here on this program. So today, Nathan, you're going to take us through something that is really exciting to me. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about prayer walking today. And I like to give us practical tools that anybody can pretty much get out immediately and put into practice, start using to live a life on mission, to enhance or really equip ourselves for being on mission in a better way, like, you know, more fruitfulness, better faithfulness. And so you've probably been on a few prayer walks.
Yeah, I was going to say that one of the churches I was at, they had an early service, and then they had Bible study, and then they would have the second service. During that second service, I'd do prayer walk. I have to admit, I was a little weak. When the weather was fitting, I'd walk the parking lot and pray. And man, it was something. But every Sunday, I'd go up and down each pew and pray for the people that would be sitting on them, that they would hear from God. Now, that's just pastor, but also schools and going to classrooms inside. Yes. Some will only let you go on the outside. So there's different ones. And it's, I just tell you, it has helped and blessed my life.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Basically, different ways and avenues of expressing that, but basically, simply prayer walking. And you might think, well, that sounds simple. You're praying and you're walking. And you probably have to keep your eyes open if you're doing both at the same time.
Yeah, don't close your eyes, right? So, well, Nathan, I'm going to let you teach this.
Definitely.
And I'm excited about what the people are going to hear. And I think it'll open their eyes to listen. I know we can pray. I know we can give and go. But prayer walking is an avenue in prayer that adds a little bit of action to it.
Right. So we're talking about a little bit of a deeper strategy than simply praying as we normally would. And we want to give us a biblical foundation and see what the Bible gives us, but also making it practical and day-to-day how we can be used by God wherever we are, in our own neighborhoods, in our communities. Maybe, you know, I've got friends who will raise money, buy a plane ticket, go to another country on the other side of the world, and all they do when they get there for about a week is simply prayer walk. And it's just very strategic and focused, an intentional mission type activity. And so however you layer that, however you put that into practice in your life, I hope this will help you today. So there's two different kinds of prayer walking, if you will, in a general sense. There is what I would call a scouting type of prayer walk, where you are praying and you're walking in an area, praying in an area, but you're simply spiritually scouting things out. You're seeing the lay of the land. You are getting a spiritual sense of conditions. And so the other kind is a sharing type of prayer walk. If you listen to this show on a regular basis, you've probably heard us give examples of how we do that. And so we'll also add that part in, but the scouting type of prayer walk might be new to you. And so you kind of think of the 12 spies in the Old Testament who went out to scout out the land, the promised land. before the Israelites were to go in and claim the land. They went out to scout out the land and see what was happening and report back. And so that's the idea. But as we go out in prayer walking, and just picture a place, maybe a place that you're familiar with, and you want to be a little bit more intentional about your witness, be intentional about knowing your neighbors, sharing the gospel with your neighbors. If this is a neighborhood that you're in, could be a different type of neighborhood, could be another place, another city. However you're picturing this, what you do, you go into this place and you prayer walk. And I would suggest a better practice is not to do it solo, but you can. You can go by yourself, but it generally works better if you take another person along, another friend, a brother, a sister in Christ who will go with you. One, I found for myself, if you're going, walking around praying by yourself, it might look like you're talking to yourself, to somebody passing by. But if you have somebody with you, it looks like you're carrying on a conversation. So it could be a little awkward at first, getting started, getting used to doing this. But once you get the hang of it, it becomes pretty easy and a lot of fun. So as you go out, especially if you're going out with the idea of scouting as you prayer walk, you go out with spiritual authority. When we go out, we have been given the authority through Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And so he sends us out to go and make disciples of all the nations. And so prayer walking, in this sense, is a step in that direction. Obedience to the Great Commission. And it's the goal, the end goal is to make disciples of the nations. And so we want to pray about that on the front end. And so it requires us to realize we have the spiritual authority from Jesus. So we're anticipating that wherever we go, wherever our footsteps fall, God's kingdom is coming into that place. It's already here, but it's also not in fullness. And so it's coming as we step, as we walk under the authority of Jesus Christ. It's not in our own authority, not in our own strength or ability to bring it about. We're simply depending on the Holy Spirit to come in and transform lives, to bring his kingdom into every place that we go. And so that's his business, but he's put us here almost as forerunners, almost as those who go ahead and announce the kingdom. And here we are as prayer walkers. We're simply praying for God's kingdom to come with every foot, every step that we take with our feet. We're also anticipating that the enemy will come against us. The enemy does not like to lose territory, and we are prayer walking in his territory, or it's something that he has claimed for himself. It's a false claim, but he is controlling different people's lives in certain ways, and we're coming against him and against that work by bringing the gospel and praying for God's kingdom to come. And as we do that, there will be some opposition spiritually as we go out in prayer walk. We also anticipate ultimately that there will be victory in the name of Jesus. And so when we pray, we're praying in his name and in the power of his name, knowing that whatever the enemy brings against us will not succeed. Ultimately, Jesus is successful. Jesus is the victor, and he will give us victory. Whatever that means for us, we are just being obedient, praying for God's kingdom, praying for our neighbors, those in the community around us, wherever we are. We're praying that they get to hear the good news of Jesus and that they will be made disciples of him. So we go out with spiritual authority. We also want to employ our spiritual senses, basically our eyes and our ears, especially our minds and our hearts as well. But we're specifically employing our eyes spiritually as we pray and as we walk. Again, you're going to keep your eyes open physically, but you want to keep your spiritual eyes open as well to look around and see what God shows you. And you're specifically going to pay attention to signs of brokenness in your community, signs of brokenness in your neighborhood. You want to pay a special attention to that. And you also want to listen. You want to have your spiritual ears attuned to what you hear, what God might be saying to you, what the Spirit might be whispering to your heart. I remember one such time I was leading a prayer walk in a neighborhood, and as we were praying, as we were walking, I sensed the Holy Spirit speak a name into my heart. And I don't know where this person lived. I didn't know this person by name. I just heard the name whispered into my heart by the Lord. And so I immediately started praying for that person by name, whoever they might be, wherever they might be. And so I kept it to myself. It was for me to pray, and so I prayed that. Well, the next day, we went back to the same neighborhood, and we had multiple teams in this exercise. The second day, we started doing a sharing-type prayer walk. And sure enough, after we reported back, one of the teams that went out to knock on doors and share the gospel, sure enough, got to talk to this man whose name that was whispered into my heart, who I had prayed for the day before. And he was able to hear the gospel. We actually started a Bible study in this man's house, and others were able to hear the gospel through him. And it was simply, I just prayed for him. I didn't have anything to do with it other than God allowed me to listen, and God whispered that name, and I was able to join in with what God was doing. So we want to have our spiritual senses open, our eyes to see brokenness, our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us as we pray. And then we also want to understand that our attitude will make all the difference. So we have to prepare our heart to be changed. As we pray, as we walk, we want to see our neighborhoods changed. We want to see our communities changed. We want to see other countries, maybe our own country, changed. But what about our own hearts? And God will do a work in our own hearts as well as we prayer walk. So prepare to have your own heart changed by the Lord. Also, we need to determine in our hearts to be strong and courageous. Like I said, we may have some opposition as we go. So it takes strength. It takes courage to simply prayer walk, as easy as that sounds. It's a spiritual warfare type activity. And so it takes strength and courage that God gives us. And then we also must know in our hearts that God is constantly at work. Whether we see it or not, whether we participate in it or not, God is working. But when we prayer walk, we get to participate in what He is doing and the work He's doing. And we really can't claim anything for ourselves because we're simply praying. We're simply walking. We're just going. We're just there. And God's doing the work. But our attitude to see that and to notice that and to believe it, even when we can't see it, makes all the difference. Now, as we go about prayer walking, especially on this type of prayer walk that we would call a scouting type of a prayer walk, our primary task is to simply observe what we see and hear and then report back. We want to have a team or a group that we are sharing with, and we can say, hey, I was in this neighborhood and here's what I noticed. Here's what God is saying to me about this place. And it will help kind of shape strategy and shape our next steps of what we need to do or how we need to continue in prayer or who we need to go to. There's a lot of different things that we can learn from a scouting prayer walk, but that's our task, to observe and report. So some of the things we might look for and ask as we go out: where is God at work here in this place? How can we join Him? We might ask if there is fruit that's already growing and reproducing. And what is the soil condition of this place, spiritual soil? Are these people, would we say they're hard and rocky, maybe thorny, or possibly even fertile soil? Are they ready to hear the gospel? Or is there going to be some resistance? Who is hurting in this place? Who is in need? Who is desperate for some good news? What is God saying to us about this place, about these people? And what might a faithful proclamation of the gospel sound like in this place? What would a faithful demonstration of the gospel look like to these people? And so we're going to be going out praying, and you say, well, what do we pray for? I realize we have to look and listen and notice things and have our hearts right, but what do I say as I prayer walk? Well, you can pray for a few things. Pray for openness first. We want to pray for open heavens. We want to pray that God would hear and act and do a great work. We want to pray for open hearts, that people around us who we're praying for, they would be responsive to the gospel, that God would go ahead and begin working on their heart to hear the good news and then respond in faith and respond in repentance. So open heavens we're praying for. We're praying for open hearts. We're praying for open homes, that the doors would be open to those who would come later and share the gospel. We're praying that families would be receptive to that. God is not simply interested in saving individuals. Now, he is interested in saving individuals, and that's how we all come to know Jesus, as an individual, as a person. I know him personally. But he's not only interested in just me. He wants to see my whole family know him and to follow him. That's what God is really interested in, is entire family groups and neighborhoods and communities and countries. So we pray for open homes as we go praying. We also pray for open highways. I thought this was an interesting passage in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, as we pray for open highways. It says this, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. We're praying for open highways, an avenue, access to people's lives, that God's glory will be revealed to them. And we're praying for open hands as well. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 through 8, as Jesus is sending out the 12, they're sort of going on a prayer walk. He says to go and pray as you go. And then verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 10, he says, as you go, announce this, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin diseases, drive out demons. You have received free of charge. Give free of charge. We're praying for open hands as we would be generous to give everything that God has given us, that whatever we've received from him, we're willing to give it away to those around us, those that God puts in our path. So we're praying for open hands. And then we also want to pray for, you know, we'll notice there's strongholds in certain places. And so we're praying about that and really coming against the work of the enemy in that place as we pray. So we're praying against strongholds in government. The government affects every local place. And so we want to pray, like in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that Paul wrote to Timothy, he says this, first of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil life, a quiet life, in all godliness and dignity. So we are commanded to pray by God in his word for government leaders. And so wherever we are prayer walking, we want to pray for those local government leaders that affect that place where we're praying. We're praying against strongholds there. We're praying against strongholds in education, strongholds in commerce and business, and specifically strongholds in religion. And if you're prayer walking in America, in the U.S., possibly the religion you'll come against is secular humanism. But that's a religion. People that are secular, maybe atheistic, agnostic, or maybe they just don't care in some way about spiritual things, they would say they're not religious. But that's a deception from the enemy. Everybody is religious in some way. Everybody worships something or someone. And so we're coming against whatever those strongholds are in ideologies, in religion, in belief systems. And only God can break through those things. We're just simply his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece to just pray back to him what he's putting into our hearts. And that's one of the ways we can go out and prayer walk is through a scouting type prayer walk. Now, the other kind of prayer walk, and you've heard us talk about this before, here is simply a sharing type prayer walk is how you might say that. We're going out and we're looking for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus as we pray and as we walk. So you want to basically follow up a scouting type prayer walk with this sharing kind of prayer walk. So you've prayed for openness and you've prayed against strongholds. And now you want to look for those opportunities to actually open your mouth and share the good news of Jesus with your neighbors or with the people in the community where you're prayer walking. And so as you go, we're going to kind of take the idea of that we find in Luke chapter 10, and Jesus kind of gives his apostles there direct practical instruction of how to go out and do this. And what he says is to go and don't take money, extra sandals. Don't take an extra staff. What he's saying is your protection comes from him. Your provision comes from him. And so as you go, you're relying on the Lord to lead you and to guide you. As you go, you're going to first say to this house, peace to this house. And we've talked about before how that is a Shema statement. The word Shema is a Hebrew word that means hear. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you have the great Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. And the word hear is the first word in that verse. Shema means hear. And so what you want to do, you want to give a Shema statement as you first meet people. You're prayer walking, you meet someone. Maybe you see them mowing the grass. Maybe you see them going out to check the mailbox. Maybe they're in their house and you knock on the door. You felt led by the Lord to knock on this door. You knock on the door. They come to the door. What do you say? Well, you give them a Shema statement. One of the basic things that we would say, and I like to simply just be up front with people, and I say, hey, me and my friend here, we are a part of a church or a part of a group. And you could name that group or name that church. And you could say, we're just simply walking around your neighborhood, praying that God would bless each of our neighbors here. And we want to pray for you. Is there something that you would like us to pray for? And you could, at that point, go through a list of things. You could ask about their health, about their work, about their family life. Nothing real personal or too nosy, but just if there's a need that they are aware of in their own lives and you want to pray about that. Maybe you want to ask them this question. If you could ask God for a miracle in your own life, what would you ask him for? So whatever they kind of tell you that they're praying about, maybe they tell you what that miracle might be. Go ahead and pray right there at their front porch, in their lawn, on the side of the road. Just pray for them by name and specifically what they've asked you to pray for them about. And simply use that as a springboard into future visits, potential follow-up. You can actually even, in that moment, the Spirit might allow you to share the good news of Jesus. You could share your testimony. You could share the story of Jesus. And possibly right there, God has already prepared that person to follow him. And you're there praying with them and leading them in that. Or you could come back later if you prayed for some miracle. And come back a week later and check on them and say, hey, I've been praying for you and for that miracle. See what God has done. You'd be surprised how many times God might answer that prayer. And so you want to be there for follow-up and to be ready to share the good news of Jesus with those neighbors, with those people that he's put in your path. So as you go on this prayer walk, you're praying that God would provide for what's needed, protect you, and give you the right people to talk to. And so you're sharing a Shema statement. You're just giving them some kind of indication that you're here for spiritual purposes. And if they have ears to hear spiritually, they will be prepared to hear the gospel. And so be ready to share the gospel as you go out and prayer walk in this way. So those are two basic types of prayer walks. You have the scouting type of prayer walk, and you have the sharing type of prayer walk. And just for the last couple of minutes here, I just want to give you some ideas of what that looks like in my life, like some experiences I've had. I've gave you one story about praying for the man who God whispered his name into my heart, and we saw spiritual fruit from that. There's been times where I've been prayer walking in a certain place and have been asked to leave. Maybe it's an apartment complex and the management doesn't like people coming around, and they sometimes politely, sometimes not politely, will ask you to leave and simply just go ahead and leave. They can't stop you from praying from wherever you are. There's been times where it's rained. We've had a prayer walk schedule. I think the last time my pastor and I did a prayer walk in some neighborhoods around our church, it was raining. And so we were like, do we want to look like some really strange guys and get out in this pouring rain and walk around? Plus, we'd be miserable, to be honest with you. Or should we just get in our car? So that's what we did. We did a prayer drive. And you could do that. You know, there's no exact designated way to do that. And then there are times, however, when we've been out sharing the good news, looking for people who are just out and about in a certain neighborhood, prayer walking, and we see a family outside, so we go talk to them, and that conversation doesn't go anywhere. And so we find somebody else walking by, so we go over there and stop them and try to share the good news of Jesus with them, and they're not too interested in that. And so we're like, what do we do? We're feeling discouraged, and we feel like maybe we made a mistake by coming out here and doing this. But all we did, we simply just prayed, and we said, Lord, and I remember this moment. I bowed my head, closed my eyes. I said, Lord, lead us to the person who you want to hear the good news of Jesus today. And when we said amen, I opened my eyes, and there was a man about 50 yards away, right in my line of sight, wearing a red shirt. And I saw that, and my heart leaped, and I felt the Lord say, there he is. So I told my buddy that I was with, hey, there he is. That's who God wants us to share the good news with. We went over, shared the gospel. The man came to follow Jesus. And what was interesting is the next couple times after that, he joined us in our prayer walks. So God can use you, no matter who you are, in sharing the good news of Jesus, being faithful to pray, being faithful to go and make disciples wherever you are.